Good morning. I'm Kyle Omler with the guru Chris Bellina, and you are listening to The Blitz. We're about to, what is that? So week four, 16, 25% way through the season already. The season has just flown by.
Yeah, now is the time to take a look at your team. I mean, you'll know if you're going to be struggling to get in the playoffs or if you are off to a good start or it's time to make some moves. You don't want to wait too long to make a move. If your team's just not cutting it or you don't feel good about it, don't be afraid to make a move.
Yeah, you know, we say don't panic right away. These guys that you drafted high, they're probably going to bounce back. They're going to have great years. Don't panic. But now we're going into, you know, right, midway through the season already, it feels like. So
trends
are established.
Yeah, exactly. So you're hitting the bye weeks, and if you got to start looking at those matchups. But, yeah, I mean, now's the time. I wouldn't say panic. I usually evaluate my team after the third week. I start thinking about trading after the third week. Got some depth and maybe looking to package that to upgrade somewhere else. And I'll tell you, a position that's been really struggling this year, there hasn't been a lot of tight ends that have been producing. There's only been two or three really good tight ends. If you have some depth, you might be able to make a move for one of those tight ends. That would help your team for sure.
Well, it looked like it was going to be gangbuster for tight end first game of the year. And now you see the yo-yo effect of the non-elite tight ends where they'll have a great game and then they'll fall down into obscurity. And then maybe they'll have a good game again.
Yeah.
So if you're right, if you can get somebody who's decent at tight end, maybe try and make a move about this time. This Thursday night's game, San Francisco against St. Louis, a nice divisional game. San Francisco, man, they're showing some signs of
vulnerability.
Exactly. Oh, nice word. Look at that. Yeah, they didn't look like this powerhouse that was going to be able to stop everybody. You actually advised me last week, hey, star Andrew Luck. San Francisco has given up a ton of yardage to everybody, and they haven't been this defense that everybody thought they were going to be. And on offense, wow, on offense, they can't do anything.
They had a good first week. And I'll tell you, Colin Kaepernick, again, that's why I don't jump on these guys after 1 year. The NFL catches up. Defenses will catch up to offenses very quick in this league. And a lot of these read option quarterbacks are struggling this year. Problem with Kaepernick is he doesn't have any good receivers. Bolden is not a separation wide receiver. He's a guy who's going to catch it in the crowd. And you want a guy like, you know, when he had Crabtree and so forth, he had guys who could get separation. I think that helped him find the open receiver. Now he doesn't have a receiver like that. And I think it's hurting his fantasy value right now because he's not able to put the numbers up. And defensive have figured out how to keep these quarterbacks running the ball. And it's turning out that a lot of them aren't that effective as a passer when they're not able to run the ball.
These defenses are more than happy to run right into those quarterbacks who decide to tuck it down and make that running position that they talked about. They're happy. They're grinning ear to ear when they see that guy getting that running position to come up and smack him.
I'll tell you, I'm looking at this game, and I don't really see much fantasy value. If Sam Bradford's your backup and you have, let's say, Rodgers who's on a bye, of course you want to play him. But, you know, Bradford's been putting up so much pretty good numbers because they have nothing that resembles a running game over there. Darryl Richard had, what, no points last week? Nothing?
Second play of the game, one of the big linemen stepped on his foot. He had a foot issue, and he was out the rest of the game. So
Jared Cook hasn't showed up. Tavon Austin, you know, I mean, they're really struggling on offense. And Bradford's really spreading it around. So he's really, other than him, I would say there's nobody on the Rams worthy of a start this week. And I'm only starting Bradford if my starter is your middle-of-the-road starter, Cutler, Roethlisberger, Vic, who may have a bad matchup. Maybe you want to put Bradford in because of the way San Francisco's defense is struggling. No Alden Smith. You may want to look at Sam Bradford. For San Francisco, nobody stands out for me. Maybe Frank Gore. But again, his numbers have been limited because Kendall Hunter's been getting a nice amount of carries and has been productive in those amount of carries. Bolden, after that big first game, has done absolutely nothing. The tight end, Vernon Davis, nowhere to be found. This is an offensive disarray. There's a lot of unhappy Colin Kaepernick quarterback owners out there. Don't go for the quarterback flavor of the month. Look for those pocket passers, guys. Not a lot of fantasy value in this game at all.
So Vernon Davis, do you think he's going to play this week? Without, like you said, the receiving options weren't there. It just seems as though Kaepernick, was he leaning on Vernon Davis that much to be able to, you know, he comes out of the game and all of a sudden now they can't play at all?
No, I just think Bolden is not a number one guy. All right, he's not a guy who's going to get separation. He's a big, strong guy. It's hard to jam him at the line. But he's just not fast enough or quick enough to get open the way a running quarterback like Kaepernick needs him to get open, like Crabtree could. Nobody's stretching the field. What that's doing is keeping the defensive backs and the linebackers in close. So it's taken away his ability to run because there's nowhere to run. So his fantasy value, which is predominantly being able to run and throw, half of that dimension's gone. And he really doesn't have – we knew losing Crabtree was going to hurt him. And that was a big factor why I didn't really like Kaepernick that much. So, yeah, I mean, I would just say this game, I mean, Vernon Davis has been nowhere to be found all year, and I don't see it continuing. And it's a shame because he looked like he was going to have a really good rhythm with Kaepernick at end of last year, but it just never translated into this year.
Who's the guy in St. Louis, though, if Richardson can't go? Is there somebody that should be picked up already on the team? And
maybe Pete.
Just
maybe.
Not feeling maybe anything about him,
no,
are you?
No, not feeling anything about him.
Okay, how about this then? Tavon Austin, Austin Pettis, Jared Cook. Who gets more receptions?
Cook's going to get more receptions.
This is going to be his plus or minus five?
I'd say plus five.
Plus five, okay.
He's going to be a 6 or 7 catch, 80-yard, maybe a touchdown.
It's good work for him.
If it's good for a tight end, but that's a big maybe. I would say temper your enthusiasm with Cook because he had one big game and two bad games.
And it's a Thursday night game.
Right, apparently, and that's the other thing, too. Yeah. That's a great point you bring up. If you look at all the Thursday night games last year, on a short week, that you really can't put in an entire offensive package. You're really limited. The advantage goes to the defense on these Thursday night games. Unless you got a guy like Peyton Manning who just throw the ball over the place. The advantage goes to defenses on Thursday night games because you just can't implement your entire package on offense. Both teams feel the same thing. There were teams like the Saints last year, I think, were held to 14 or 17 points on a Thursday when they played Atlanta. Add that to it, and that even devalues everybody in this game even more.
Well, the Thursday night has become a trend now more than an anomaly. We've said it before. You follow what's going on. Don't panic. But we've seen this for years now, years in a row, that Thursday night game. I think they're just beat up from the week before. They haven't had enough therapy to get their bodies back in shape. Not all these guys aren't 16-year-olds anymore. Yep. They're 30-year-old men who need time to recover. I know the athletes, but I think they're kind of just beat up.
Well, and plus, you only have a full day of practice. You figure Monday's usually film and going over the game tape from the last game, reviewing game tape for the upcoming game. You get a practice on Tuesday. Depends on what your travel range is. Maybe get a little bit in on a Wednesday. Then you're playing on Thursday. You're flying in either on Wednesday night or Thursday morning. There's not a lot of time to practice. So really, what can you implement? So the defenses really know what to expect for the offenses because they know they're only going to have so many packages available. And they can't really implement new. So they spend a lot of time watching the footage of the game before because pretty much what they've been running there is what they're probably going to run against them on a Thursday night game.
Atlanta's going against New England. I think this might be the game that New England has met their match and Atlanta will come away with a victory. But Brady, he hasn't had anybody that's really stepped up and helped him out as far as catching the ball. There seems to be many, many guys in the backfield getting carries. And in Atlanta, Roddy White, he did get a lot of snaps, but he still was a non-factor on the offensive side. And the running game is there's a lot of question marks in this game.
Well, neither team are up to their offensive performances of last year. Roddy White, we said it last week, he's a sit. He's a must-sit until you see something. I'm saying it the same thing this week. If you have another option, I would sit Roddy White. New England's pass defense is actually pretty good. And then you have a hobbled Roddy White, no running game to speak of. Again, you're going to play Matt Ryan. You're going to play Julio Jones. They're splitting time between Snelling and Jaquez Rodgers. Snelling got a touchdown, which made his numbers a little lofty for his play. New England's actually playing pretty good defense this year. It could be because they haven't played any good offenses. But ultimately, you're going to play Matt Ryan, Roddy White. You know, Tony Gonzalez hasn't been a factor this year. Roddy White has been atrocious. A lot of people probably took him round 3 or 4, hasn't produced at all. So Atlanta's not that explosive offense that we thought they would be off of last year and adding Steven Jackson. Now, the Patriots, you think with the struggles they've had with their receivers that they would really pound running backs and you'd get one guy who would separate, whether it be Blunt or Ridley. That hasn't happened. Same thing with the receivers. Nobody's really stepped up to be the guy. Kenbrell Tompkins had a good game, 2 touchdowns. Again, if you had depth and were able to play him, you're definitely pleased with that. Is Dobson going to be the guy? The week before against the Jets, he had the most yards and a touchdown. The good news is Gronkowski's supposed to be back this week. If you're a Gronkowski owner, wait till the last second before you put him in your lineup. Hopefully you have another option. Even again in this game, do you really play Tom Brady? I know there are people in leagues who aren't playing Tom Brady. Crazy as that sounds, I'm looking at this game. Is this maybe one where Tom Brady, if you have a good backup option, maybe a Sam Bradford we just talked about, maybe this is a time to sit Tom Brady till it starts to shake out on offense.
Gronkowski, how many receptions? Is he going to be even worth starting?
If he starts and can play the whole game, Brady is just going to feed him the ball.
Huh.
I don't think he's going to be on a pitch count. I think he's going to be, look, we need to get our quarterback in rhythm. We need to see with this offense, with Gronkowski, what makes our offense whole, if our rookie wide receivers could step it up. Now, knowing that they're going to be throwing a little less coverage now that Gronkowski's in there. And that's the other end of it. I mean, I want to see how this plays out. I don't have a crystal ball. Will Gronkowski get double and triple team, knowing that the receivers are struggling? That's something that I think he's just such a force that he'll be productive. And I can see if he plays a full game, I can see 7 to 10 catches, high 80 to 100 yards, and he can probably get 2 scores.
Buffalo against Baltimore. Buffalo is looking much better than I thought they were going to be this year. I'm not going to lie about that. EJ Manuel, he faced a tougher defense probably than he's faced in a while against the Jets. And the rookie, Robert Woods, he's getting a couple more looks from Manuel. And then on the other side, they have forgotten, I think, that they have Ray Rice. I don't understand why they abandoned the run so quickly.
Well, they didn't have a chance to play him last week, him being hurt. And I don't know what the prognosis is for him this week. But if you have Bernard Pierce and Ray Rice isn't playing, he's a good handcuff. He's a good guy to play. Bilal Powell ran for 100 yards against the Buffalo defense. And Bernard Pierce, if Ray Rice isn't playing, he's a must start. If Ray Rice is playing, he obviously is a must start. I look for big numbers out of him.
And what do you think? Do you think he will start, or is he not going to?
I think even if he does play, the way Bernard Pierce has been able to run, I would say he may even be his production will be minimal. They're not going to want to wear him out or get him re-injured. He's that valuable right now to their offense.
Even when they had him, when they had Rice, I'm looking at the usage still. They're still throwing so much in Baltimore.
Hey, look, you're going to pay the money to Flacco, you're going to give him the ball and have him throw it. They have 2 good running backs. Yeah, I mean, nobody's really stepped up, even with all that throwing, to be a good fantasy option. I mean, Torrey Smith's a low-end number 3, maybe a number 4 if you're in a deeper wide receiver league. Same thing with Marlon Brown, who's come out of nowhere. I'm sure he's been hot on the waiver wires. I mean, you're not going to waste any time with Clark or Stokely, and nobody's really stepped up to be a good fantasy option on that offense yet. Flacco had a good opening day. He has 2 pedestrian games since then. So I'm still staying away from Ravens unless I have to play him. And if I have Bernard Pierce, this is why you drafted him, for when Ray Rice gets hurt or isn't 100%. So he may be worth putting in your lineup. Now, Buffalo, I don't think EJ Manuel's a fantasy start yet. I like him if you're in a keeper league or dynasty league, of course. I think he's got a very high ceiling. I like what I've seen from him. Spiller's a little banged up. That means you may see a little bit more Fred Jackson. And the one thing about Fred Jackson, when he's in the lineup, he produces. And receivers, Robert Woods has seen the ball more, but he's still not a fantasy start yet, regardless of the situation. Stevie Johnson, he's a number 3 wide receiver right now because EJ Manuel really isn't that fantasy stud. So there's a lot of question marks with Buffalo, even with Spiller and Jackson, because Spiller's hurt, that brings in value for Jackson. So you may want to look at playing him as a flex player. But if Spiller isn't hurt, well, Jackson's useless. Real tough decisions to make, especially if you're an owner of Spiller and Jackson. You may want to sit them both.
Okay, I was going to ask you this, though. Does Spiller get the Mike Wallace bump? You know, the chirping he was talking about, how I don't understand how we abandoned running game so fast up here. We need to do more. I only had 10 carries. And is he going to get the attention given to him a little bit more this week because of that?
No, I don't think so, because I think their focus there is developing EJ Manuel. They know they're not going to win this year. They're not. I'm actually surprised that both Fred Jackson and CJ Spiller are even still there. I'm thinking this is a team that's got their what they feel is their franchise quarterback, and Spiller, he's probably their franchise running back. Well, you know what? You're not going to win anything this year. You could probably get some value for Fred Jackson. I don't understand why he's still on the roster, because the guy is a good player. They're not going anywhere, and I don't know why they abandoned the run, because they're pretty darn good running backs. I just think that it's part of the development process of EJ Manuel, and I don't think they're going to stray from that, no matter how CJ Spiller chirps.
Cleveland Browns, Cincinnati Bengals. We all saw the Cleveland win coming last week, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Could I believe that? Come on. And we all saw Josh Gordon coming in with a backup quarterback and putting up the 10 receptions and ridiculous numbers. We saw that coming as well.
Of course.
Cameron, he had a great game. Now, that one we did think that, you know, he's shown a lot of progress this year. And what I don't understand about that is that guy was on the team last year too, Cameron.
Yeah.
Did you tell me Ben Watson was the much better receiving option as a tight end? That doesn't seem to make any sense.
He had the track record to be it. Brian Hoying, I did make a mention that Steelers were high on him. They did not want to lose him. And he showed some value. He definitely showed he could throw the ball. Hey, you know what? Guy like that who throws 3 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, I'm sure Cleveland will take that every week. Because they have guys who throw no touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Again, I'm not jumping on any Brian Hoyer bandwagon. All I'm saying is the only one who's a must start is Jordan Cameron. He's one of the top 3 or 4 tight ends right now. So you have to put him in your lineup, especially with an unproven quarterback. He's going to rely heavily on a tight end. On the other side, Dalton becoming that must start. He had a rough game last week, but you know I think he's going to bounce back against Cleveland. AJ Green, I think obviously he's going to have a stud game. I'm still staying away from that running game.
Yeah.
I'm still staying away from it. I mean, Bernard had a big day against the Steelers, but it didn't follow it up. I want to see consistency before I start saying put these guys in your lineup.
Well, I think you're seeing the difference between the fantasy football mentality and the real football mentality when you watch these games. They're not done with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. They want to still use him. They don't care that Bernard's numbers are down because of this. They don't care about our fantasy stats.
Nope.
They want to have a good football team. Using both of them at this point makes sense to the
same
team.
Thing with the tight end situation. I mean, Gressom last year without Eifert, he's a top 10 tight end the way they chucked the ball. But now with Eifert there, neither one of them are really worthy of a fantasy start unless your starting tight end is desperate. And because a lot of these teams are going to this 2 tight end set, it's almost like having a dual running backs where nobody's really standing out to be that frontline starter as a tight end that you want to play. So now the tight end pool, which was looking like it was an abundance of, has thinned out significantly. So this game, it's limited with players. I would say nobody other than Cameron.
It's not Josh Gordon?
Oh, you know what? I glazed right over Josh Gordon. I'd say, yeah. He had a humongous game. Again, it's one game, but if you're in a deeper league and you trust that he's going to be the guy like he played last week, he's worthy of a flyer. I mean, to me, it is Cleveland. It is Brian Hoying, who's unproven. No running game. But somebody's got to catch the ball. And you know what? He may be making things better for Jordan Cameron. I would say he's worth a start. Yeah, I'm sorry. I totally missed him.
That's okay. I didn't miss him when I watched him. That guy is a man. Oh,
yep.
He is.
Yep.
He's everything that they said he was going to be coming out physically. When you look at him, you talk about he looks like a player. This guy looks like a player when you see him on the field. He gets body position. He's very physical. He glides when he runs. He's going to be another one of those young wide receivers. It's just that off-the-field concerns with them.
Well,
and then you're hearing the rumors that they might trade him even.
Well, I hope they trade him to Pittsburgh, which they won't do because they don't want to see him twice a year. But A.J. Green, the first week was a really good week. He's been so-so the last 2 weeks. I mean, they got a touchdown in 60 yards, which, again, he's your number one wide receiver. You want a little more than that. I understand you're not going to get it every week. Otherwise, he would put off the charts numbers. But this may be one where he racks up a couple of touchdowns. Again, he's going to be someone who's always in your lineup.
Denver's going against Philadelphia. And since the first week when Philadelphia just went crazy against that now we see porous Washington defense, they've really come crashing back down to earth, all except for LeSean McCoy.
This guy's
just unreal, putting together everything on the Philadelphia side. And over in Denver, everybody's getting the ball. So it's so difficult, again, to figure out which wide receiver is going to have the huge game. Last week, it looked like Decker was the only guy that Manning had eyes for. Who do you think is going to get it this week?
You know, because of the way they're slinging the ball, that looks like one of the most unstoppable offenses this year, and that we've seen in years.
Mm-hmm.
You play them all. If you have Julius Thomas, Demaryius Thomas, Wes Welker, or Eric Decker, you play them all. And if you have one of those guys, he's in your starting lineup because he's going to get you points, and you're going to, like you said, you hope that you'll get 50, 60 yards every week minimum, but you're going to have 3 or 4 of those 120-yard, 2-touchdown games that you don't want him on your bench when that happens.
Right. Manny's throwing 3 touchdowns a game.
Right.
One of them's going to go to one of those guys more than likely. So
it's
tough. You want to be the guy who's getting that touchdown every week.
Well, right. And especially this week because against the Eagles, they're going to get a lot of opportunities with the ball because the Eagles are going to wear themselves out in that offense in the rarefied air probably by mid-second quarter, which means they're going to have an unbelievable amount of 3-and-outs. You're just going to get Peyton Manning. This is a game where Peyton Manning could go get into the 50s in points.
Well, this is where Denver. Chip Kelly offense is a problem.
Well,
you don't want to keep giving that ball back to Manning.
Well, right, and that's the thing. They're going to try and run McCoy, but he's even said himself, look, uncle, I don't want all the carries that I'm getting. He went down against the Chiefs, got hurt, came back, but this is going to be something that's going to happen. You got three major players on that team, Vic, McCoy, and Jackson, who are injury-prone.
Yes.
And the way they're running this offense, with the stamina that they're going to need, I mean, I don't see any of the three making it through the whole year. So
you
while
know, that's
they're...
an excellent point. Watching all those ESPN and watching all those NFL networks and watching all these guys talk about the Philadelphia Eagles and the Chip Kelly offense and how it's going to go, nobody ever really mentioned, hey, look at the three guys that are starting for them as being injury prone. This is going to be a problem. These guys are going to lean on this offense, and these three guys can never finish the season. That's the first time I've actually heard somebody mention that. It was
that's the way you have to look at it. From a fantasy perspective, McCoy's hot. Keep an eye on it. If you start seeing the hobbles, and you may want to look at trading him. Same thing with DeSean Jackson. It's risky to do, and if he plays the whole year, you're going to look like a dope. But when was the last time that's happened? Same thing with Michael Vick. While the fantasy value is high, and they're going to get points next week because they're going to be trailing the whole game, they're going to have to score. And they're going to get a lot of junk, garbage time touchdowns at the end, which is fine. Who cares? Fantasy. But keep an eye on that because these are guys who don't make it through the year. And now their workload has increased. And the way their offense is running, you already got one man down in Macklin. It's just a matter of time before some of these other ones go down. If you can get some trade value for them, now's the time to look at it. If you're weak somewhere, you could probably get a solid running back and a solid wide receiver from McCoy. I would keep an eye on doing that at some point this year.
The Houston Texans are going against the Seattle Seahawks. This looks like two teams going in the opposite directions here. Seattle's going up. Houston looks like they're going down. Seattle was sitting their studs early on last week, which, of course, killed people in fantasy football when you're trying to. I look down at the stat line and I see, oh, Marshawn Lynch, he's got like 67 yards. We're only in the second quarter. Minute, I'm checking at the end of the third quarter. He still has 67 yards. What's happening here? What's going on? Let me go flip over and see what's going on. Oh, he's not even playing.
Game's out of hand
early. I guess we got to keep a better eye on that kind of situation and go, whoa, maybe not. Maybe this could be it's kind of like they've had to put in their JV squad against Jacksonville. So sad.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not a big Matt Schaub fan for fantasy. I like him as a quarterback in the NFL real world. And I even said that when we did our rankings. I wasn't a big Matt Schaub fan. I just don't see it. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is looking pretty good as a rookie. This isn't a game I'm going to play him. You're going to play Andre Johnson. Arian Foster, I mean, we're kind of down on him recently because of the amount of time they're using Ben Tate. That's now a two-person running attack. It used to be all Arian Foster. Arian Foster went early in a lot of leagues. You may want to look to trade him because he's a brand name. Somebody may be dumb enough to take him based on that, and you may be able to get some decent value back. But he is not, unless Ben Tate gets hurt, he is not going to put up Arian Foster-type numbers because they're split, and Ben Tate's actually running the ball better than he is. So I would stay away from that running situation. I would use Arian Foster or Ben Tate as a number two or flex player because they're not doing anything when they're in there to give you any fantasy comfort. On the other end, again, the receiving core, I'm staying away from everybody in this receiving core. Marshawn Lynch is a must start. Russell Wilson is a bye week start as far as I'm concerned. He's not one of those. He's not in the top 12. And you're in a 12-team league, you really should be starting Russell Wilson. I can name 12 better starters right now. That's just me. Doesn't mean by the end of the year it's going to change. But right now, the only person worthy of starting on the Seattle Seahawks is Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, again, this is like the third week in a row. That's what you've said, and I think you've been correct on each one of them.
Marshawn Lynch.
That's who it is.
It's somebody's going to have a big game. It's just somebody's going to have to catch the ball, but you don't know who it's going to be. They haven't established who the go-to guy is. Zach Miller got two touchdowns. This week he may only get two catches. There's really no one who's identified himself as the go-to guy where you say, he's a must-start, he's going to get me points. They spread it around.
Marshawn Lynch was ranked in most websites out there as a top 10, but not in a top 5 class of running backs. But he's becoming one of those rare gems who gets the ball all the time compared to, like you just said, now Arian Foster and Ben Tate, C.J. Spiller, Fred Jackson. Those running backs are becoming so rare and few and far between now that look like Marshawn Lynch.
Right. There aren't many of them. And I'll be honest with you, just giving that some thought, too, before we came on the air here, not a lot of major fantasy studs so far this year. You know, that's a topic that we'll table for another time. But no, other than some quarterbacks, who's been there? I mean, the guys in Denver, but aside from them, Jimmy Graham maybe?
Yeah, Jimmy Graham, Peyton Manning, those are the first two I can think of off the top
of my
head.
Well, right. Well, what running back is McCoy? Well,
McCoy.
But who else?
That's
I mean, you know, think about it. There's really been no fantasy super studs.
Right, somebody who's been reliable every week that are going to get you points. I agree.
I mean, Peterson plugs along, but he's not putting Adrian Peterson numbers up. Trent Richardson just got traded. Jamal Charles isn't really putting up significant. He's putting up good numbers, but nobody's really a soup. It's been like just blowing it up. I mean, even Dez Bryant had a big game and a couple pedestrian games. AJ Green, big game, couple pedestrian games for his standards.
Julio Jones, there's another one. He's been doing really good.
Yeah, he's been doing pretty good, but it's been rough. So don't fray. And you know what you got to do is you got to look at who hasn't picked it up yet. While their value is low, try and get them. Because at the end of the year, the numbers on the back of their football card are going to probably be what they're going to be at. So if you see somebody who first feel like a Roddy White who hasn't really produced early in the year, you may want to jump on him. Because when he comes back to hopefully being full healthy, you got a number one wide receiver.
The Colts against Jacksonville. The Colts just handed it to San Francisco. Did it San Francisco style to them also. So is this going to be a game now against Jacksonville where guys are going to get sat early? Should we worry about that again? Should we be worried about somebody like Andrew Luck having a subpar game because they're going to turn around and run it a lot more as opposed to having to throw it? Or should we just not worry about that? I am. I'm honestly worried a little bit about Andrew Luck in this game just because.
Yeah, but they may get up by 30 points and he has 3 touchdowns.
Could
you
be.
Know, so I mean, that's the way to look at it. The guy I would be concerned about is if you have Amon Bradshaw right now, because they're going to want to get. This is a game where they get Trent Richardson healthy on offense. Meaning, when I say healthy, healthy in their offense, not physically healthy, but he's going to learn a lot on how, and he's going to get a lot of opportunities. And they're going to utilize this game as practice to see what packages work with Trent Richardson, what packages don't work with, because they're gonna kill Jacksonville. So they're going to have a lot of fun figuring out what they have out of Trent Richardson. He's a must start.
Then take away passing opportunities for Andrew Luck and all the receivers?
Yes and no. I think they may want to get out to a lead early so they can do this. You know, they're not going to want to play around with that. Next, you know, you leave Jacksonville in the game, in the game, in the game, and a ridiculous turnover or fluke play, and then you wind up losing. They're going to want to come out guns firing, but just blow these guys out, get their 20-something point lead in the third quarter, and then they're just going to see, in my opinion, a ridiculous amount of Trent Richardson. On the Jacksonville side, there's nobody worth starting. Maurice Jones-Drew is shot. Cecil Shorts is a one-man show at this point, and so they know they're going to take him out of the game. They look better with Chad Henne than they do Blaine Gabbert, so I don't even know who's starting. It really doesn't matter. This is one that's going to get ugly fast. I see Luck putting up close to 300 yards and 3 touchdowns in this game. I really do, because they're going to get that far ahead that quick. And then it's just going to be pounding the ball. So you want to play Reggie Wayne. You want to play T.Y. Hilton. You want to play Trent Richardson. The guy I would not play off of a big week is Amon Bradshaw. Again, you didn't bring in Trent Richardson to give up a first-round pick to have him hold a clipboard, like the coach said. He is your starter. He is the goal line guy. He will have a full week of practice under his belt. He's going to get 20-plus carries. Bradshaw will be that change of pace, third down back, catching the ball on passing plays and whatever, maybe on blitz package, you know, on passing plays to make sure he can pick up the blitz. But you're going to see a heavy dose of Trent Richardson in this game.
Are you cutting everybody on Jacksonville for the hot waiver wire pickup every week? Or is there anybody you'd be willing to hang on to?
I wouldn't have drafted anybody on Jacksonville, to be honest with you. So I wouldn't have to worry about cutting them because they never would have made it on my team.
The Chiefs are going against the Giants. The Giants just got embarrassed beyond all belief. That passing game there, Nix was saying, well, I can't throw to myself. Can't throw to myself, so I don't want to hear anybody talking about how I had no receptions. And then the Chiefs, they are just doing it, man. They are just killing it for you.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, Super Bowl bound.
Super Bowl. And I got that one wild card that nobody's thought about why I think the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl.
Donnie Avery.
No. Oh. This is a factor called the Peyton Manning factor, the Peyton Manning choking in the playoffs.
Oh.
Look for the Chiefs to go deep into the playoffs. But for a fantasy, Alex Smith, if he's your backup and you got your starter has a good or bad matchup, if he's on a bye, this is a game you want to play him against the Giants because Cam Newton tore him up. Romo had a big game again. I mean, their defense is to be had. I look for a big game out of Dwayne Bowe. I look for a big game out of Jamal Charles. I like that Seth McGrath as the potential starting tight end to potentially see an end zone. So if you're struggling to find a tight end, let's say you have Jamarco Finley and he's on a bye, look at Seth McGrath on the waiver wire. The Giants, their linebackers can't cover tight ends. Play Alex Smith if he's not your starter and your starter has a bad matchup, or it's Eli Manning going against the Chiefs defense, you may want to play Alex Smith this week. Get him in your lineup. And obviously the two no-brainer must-starts, Bo and Jamal Charles. Giants side, I know they were shut out last week. It's hard to sit Eli Manning. The thing about the Chiefs, though, and where I really think this is a week, if you have Eli Manning, you may want to sit him, is their familiarity with Andy Reid and the Giants. Both sides, they're going to know what's going on. Just the faces are different. But I think Andy Reid will know how to shut this offense down a little bit. He's got better horses to play with than he had in Philly to be able to do it. And with the offensive line woes that the Giants have and the pass rush the Chiefs are getting, this one could also get ugly quick. I'm not playing any of the running backs. I'm not playing the tight end, Brandon Myers. I'd play Victor Cruz because he's a must start. I'd play Hakeem Nicks because he's a must start. Because they're Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz for no other reason. You drafted them to play him every week. You got to play him every week in this game.
Somebody's got to do something, right? They can't have another goose egg like they did
last
week.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're going to want to come out, and they're going to come out, and trust me, Mike Wallace factor, like you said before, Hakeem Nicks is going to get fed the ball. And usually when they chirp like that, I didn't get the ball, I didn't get the ball. Quarterbacks want to get on the ball because the last thing they want is one of their receivers stomping their feet instead of running routes because that's going to get them killed. You know?
True.
So he's going to want to keep that wide receiver happy by feeding him the ball. Just like it happened with Mike Wallace the week after he chirped. You're going to see it with Hakeem Nicks. So if you have Hakeem Nicks, he is a must start. If you're doing one of those week-to-week fantasy games, get Hakeem Nicks in your lineup, just like I said to do it with Mike Wallace.
David Wilson, his value is at an all-time low right now in fantasy football. Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
If you have the ability to trade for him, I would trade for him. And the reason I say that is right now he is focused. There's nobody else.
Right.
And there's right now he's just focusing on not fumbling. When he gets over the not fumbling, he's going to go back to running the ball the way everyone expected David Wilson to run the ball. So if somebody's sitting him and you have a marginal player or a player who's been hot the last couple of weeks or last week or two, get David Wilson, sit him on your bench, because that way when he does come back to what we expect, he's on your team, not somebody else's. But he's going to have to wait a little bit. It's going to take a little bit of patience. Because right now, he's not worried about running and getting yards. He's worried about not fumbling. And when he's doing that, he's not going to be productive fantasy-wise. But he'll get over that with coaching, with this repetition, and then he's going to come up, and he could be a good fantasy value to give you that playoff push.
Great advice. Make sure you guys follow it, okay? Listen to what we said. We're watching these games closely. We're seeing some trends. We're trying to point them out to you, okay? That's half the games. Come back in a few more days. Listen to us on Saturday. For Chris Bellina, I'm Kyle Omler, and this has been The Blitz.
Good luck, guys.